to begin. Very, very fascinating things. Halacha Kuf Vav. Halacha Kuf Vav. Page Kuf Ches. Page Kuf Ches. Halacha Kuf Vav. No, Kuf Hey. Halacha Gob one more halacha. Halacha Kuf Hey. Very, very fascinating halacha. Very, very interesting. Halacha Kuf Hey. Kol mitzvah she'ein la doresh. A mitzvah which is not popular. Okay, there are certain mitzvahs that are very, very popular. Everyone, page Kuf Ches. Halacha Kuf Hey. Halacha Kuf Hey. On page Kuf Ches. Kol mitzvah she'ein la doresh ve'ein mi she'yivakesh oisal. What should you do? Tidrishana. You should seek it out. Why? L'fishi k'meis mitzvah. There are a lot of things that we hear every so often. They all come from the Sefer Hasidim. There are mitzvahs that are very popular. Everyone is running to do certain types of mitzvahs. And then there are mitzvahs no one wants to do. Shlucha Khan is a different category because Shlucha Khan is the Torah Ki Yikore. It's a mitzvah whose essence is it's a chance occurrence. It's not possible to prepare to do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. It's not possible. You can't. So it's very problematic. People who have businesses in enabling you to do Shiluach HaKein, they're setting you up that it should be an accident. That doesn't make any sense. That's an oxymoron. If they're you paying them money to create a situation where you're going to meet up with a nest and a bird, an egg, that is not called an accident. Okay, that's not called an accident. That is that's called what we call planned parenting. That's called that is called mizuman. That is called, so therefore, I don't know, so the technical loopholes, why it's still called Ki Yikore, even though, like I told you, that's a different category. Let's talk about things which are really true mitzvahs, but people are just, it's just not popular because it's either it's too expensive or it's too much of a tircha. I don't want to start giving in any examples.
Why not?
Because I don't really have any examples. Okay, there are certain types, and so it all depends. You'll say something, keep it off of aim. Okay? It's not popular. Not popular, keep it off of aim. It's much more popular to Mevaker Choylem. People will give millions of dollars for Biker Choylem. They'll sponsor a Biker Choylem, put their name on a building, Biker Choylem Center. And how do these people treat their own parents? Okay? Things like that. There are certain things that are very popular, because there's a lot of glamour and limelight.
Does that give you the mitzvah if you donate the building for Biker Cholim? Does that give you the mitzvah of Biker Cholim?
Why not? Money.
Well, that would be a mitzvah.
It all comes down to dollars and cents. Everything costs money, money, money. Everything costs money. If there's money,
I'm going to visit somebody.
All right, very good. That's the ikar of Hadza. That's the main thing. So maybe you'll say that they're very popular to give money, but to do it with you, to go visit, that's not so popular. Mark Platnick is that, you know, he does it. It's true. What he does is beyond belief. Really, we shall all learn from you. You're a model for all of us. No, it's true. The people, you're right, you're giving examples. Some people, they'll give money. Not everyone gives money either, but it's not so easy to get money from people. But it's much more common when there's a cause, when there's a need, to work on a person, they'll be much more willing to give money than to give of their time. To actually get involved and help out.
If they have money, it's convenient. The time is not convenient.
Exactly. So, but sometimes they have skills. I mean, every situation is different. You can't generalize. You don't want them to get involved. They'll ruin everything. You know, they're not skilled. They're not equipped. Then just don't get in my way. I only want your money. I don't want you to do anything. You'll ruin everything. But there are times when people have skills. They have special skills, and we need your help. We need your advice. I know someone who's in the tech world, and there's an organization that they're Torah Anytime. I work part time for Torah Anytime. Do some whatever things for them, and they need help. They need help in many ways. They need millions of dollars, and they need experts, people who are experts in certain technologies to tell them what to do, to tell them how to do something. And these people, it's not so easy to get a hold of these people. And then if we find the people that we need to help us, they charge quite a you know, for their time, they charge an industry, an arm and a leg. So forget about the money. We need them just to come down to the office and sit down and to look over what's going on and to give us an expert opinion on how to solve a major issue, a major problem. And this is not my department, but there are certain people that are chasing after certain people, begging them to give of their time, to give of their precious time, to come down, to devote 3-4 hours to sit and look over the issues that they're facing, and they have the expertise and the connections to solve major technical issues. It's not just the money. It's not just the money. It's the actual hands-on work. I'm telling you, if I'm shooting, I don't need to explain. These are very simple things. You need sometimes certain types of things, and those things are not necessarily popular because there is no glamour, there is no popularity. And here he's the use of the point with what's so unique and beautiful about the Sefer Chassidim. He writes, it's called a meis mitzvah. We're all brainwashed and think of meis mitzvah means one thing only. There's a dead body lying on the road. No one cares. So the halacha is you're allowed to be mevatel from every mitzvah in the Torah to attend to this dead body and to bury the body, to give the body dignity. Even if you're a kohen gadol and you're on the way to do the avodah, to bring a korban Pesach, let's say it's Erev Pesach, and if you don't bring a korban Pesach, there's a chiv kores. And you're a kohen gadol, and a kohen gadol is not allowed to contaminate to the dead. A kohen gadol is not allowed to contaminate even to his 7 closest relatives. So look at this case. You have a person who's a kohen gadol, who's never allowed to contaminate to a dead body, and it's Erev Pesach. He's on the way to the Beis HaMikdash to bring the korban Pesach, and if he does not bring the korban Pesach, he's chayiv kares. This person, who has both of these things going for him, is obligated to stop, to contaminate himself to the dead, and bury the body, and by doing so, he will not be able to bring the korban Pesach. Isn't that amazing? That the Gemara Darsh is a person, this double whammy, this double combination. Kohen Gadol, Erev Pesach, is mechuyev to contaminate himself to the dead, and thereby forfeit the ability to bring the korban Pesach, to bury a dead body, because the dead body is called the meis mitzvah. Along comes the Sefer Chassidim. There's another type of meis mitzvah, and that's called a mitzvah that no one wants to do. A simple mitzvah, any mitzvah, whether it's a
meis mitzvah, no one's going to do back in return. There's no
expectation that you'll be rewarded.
Right.
So,
I mean, this world.
That's why we call it a meis mitzvah. In this world, there's no expectation because the person is dead. He's not going to reward you. But he's using this term to refer to the importance of how of you have to do it. There's no one else to do it, and it pushes away everything. There's nothing in this world that's as important as attending to this dead body. Even if you're a kohen gadol, and even if it's Erev Pesach. Likewise, if there is a mitzvah that needs to be done and no one wants to do the mitzvah, that mitzvah has the same status as a meis mitzvah. Forget about everything else. Attend to take care of this mitzvah. It's awesome what he writes. Kol mitzvah she'ein l'doresh. Ve'ein mi she'ivak yeshoysa. Tid rishena. Seek it out. L'fi shehi k'meis mitzvah. It's a meis mitzvah. Mitzvah she'ein l'roifim. A mitzvah that you see no one's interested in, because if the mitzvah is not going to be done, the mitzvah will complain to Hashem, Kama gerua anoichi, look how ugly I am. Shenisalamti mikol v'chol, no one is interested in doing, in taking care of me. And therefore, if you do in your life see such a situation where there is a real mitzvah to be done and no one wants to do it, he's implying this has priority over everything else. Drop all the other things, even though you'll say, oh, but those are very important things. You're right, they're very important things. nothing can be more important than Kares, Karim Pesach, Kohen Gadol, the holiest man, not allowed to contaminate, but yet, forget about it. A little thing, a dead body lying on the road, the guy's dead. What's the difference? His neshama's in the next world. You have over here his body, soul, what's the big deal? No, there's a mitzvah to bury a person. Ki kovar tik perenim. Bury the dead body. If you're not going to bury, do this mitzvah, no one's going to do it. The body will decay, and this will disintegrate. The mitzvah will not be done. Likewise, every single situation where no one is taking care of something which may be insignificant and you have more important things to do, forget about your more important things to do. Do what needs to be done.
Does the goy have to do a mace mitzvah? The body is a goy?
I don't think so. I don't believe so. Maybe I'm mistaken. I don't believe so. If there's a non-Jewish body and
then there's a sanitary issue.
Okay, that's a sanitary issue. If you're a Kohen Gadol on the way to bring the Karan Pesach, are you allowed to contaminate to a goy? I doubt it. Why not? Are you allowed to keep a Jew overnight? Rav Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion, this is a major machlokes apoiskim. What is the reason why you're not allowed to keep, why is there an inyan to bury a dead body as soon as possible? There are two reasons. There are two very important reasons why it is critical to bury the dead ASAP. Number one, decay. Zilzul hames. The moment the person dies, the body begins to decay. It smells. There's odor. There are rodents. There are all different types of health issues, and there is disgust. It's called nivul hames. The clock is ticking. Number two, there's another reason. Purely Kabbalah. 100% in Yoni Kabbalah, the neshama has no minucha until the body is buried. This is something which is pure Kabbalah. Rav Moshe Feinstein is of the opinion that Bizman has said the only thing that we have to take into consideration l'chatchila is nivul hames. Therefore, today we don't have nivul hames because we have refrigeration. And we have burial societies, which dramatically change the equation, the degree of nivul hames. A body that's no longer, a person that's no longer alive, there's refrigeration, it's taken care of. There is a very insignificant amount of nivul hames by it not being buried immediately. Oh, but what about the Kabbalah in Yanim? No, it's a problem, but it's not. We live in a world of according to Moshe, of practicality, and that's the ikar l'may nafkamina, is if you can give this person more honor by waiting until the next morning so the relatives can come to the funeral, and giving the bad person a proper hespedim, and giving the mishpacha proper kavod, and making life easier for the people who are involved in attending to the body, and now requiring the family to pay an enormous amount of money to keep the cemetery open for them over time in order to do heroic measures, then go down that path. There is no issue because there is no nivul hames bizman hazeh. And therefore, what about Kabbalah reasons? Forget it. We're not mekubalim today. No one's in the world of Kabbalah today. Forget about it. If you can do it, kol hakavod, avada, run, do it. But if there is a conflict, what wins is nivul hames. This was Rav Moshe Feinstein's approach, and that's why he paskin 100% a person should under no condition be buried on Yom Tov. Even though according to Shulchan Aruch, on Yom Tov, a person, 2 day Yom Tov in Golas, a person on the first day Yom Tov can be buried by Goyim, and on the second day Yom Tov can be buried by Jews. The Jews themselves can drive the car, can dig the grave, and put the body into the grave and cover the grave. On the first day Yom Tov, you can't do that. Goyim can do it, and you can just go with the Goyim. You can sit in the car, they can drive you around, and they can do it, and you can follow them around. And Moshe held in America, chas v'sholim, to do such a thing in America. Even though this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and this was done certainly in Europe, not all that long ago, and in Russia, but in America, where there is no longer an issue of nivul hames, if a person dies on the first day Yom Tov, the body will be refrigerated, there's not going to be nivul hames, and you can wait 2-3 days until there will be a funeral, That's what we do. We don't do any heroic measures. Not no chil yomtif. No, we don't follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Chassidim, Yohar Gval Yavar, they go with Kabbalah. Chassidim, they go with Kabbalah. The body is in a matzav of tsar. The neshama is in a matzav of tsar. And if in Shulchan Aruch it says there are 2 days of yomtif, that means the body will not be buried for 3 days. The body will be, the Shulchan Aruch is working with Nivel HaMeis. But the Shulchan Aruch says, you're going to wait 3 days to bury the body? You're not going to wait 3 days to bury the body. So you know what? Do it on the first day Yom Tov, Al Yidei Aminin. And the second day Yom Tov, it's only Minig Avoseinu B'Yodeinu to observe 2 days Yom Tov. Really, the second day Yom Tov is really Choyl. It's only, we're experts in the Kvir D'Yarchei. It's only a Chumrah of Yom Tov Shen Shul Golias. You can bury it yourself. A Jew can drive the hearse. The Jew can dig the grave, can make all the arrangements. And the Chassidim Ad Hayoyim Hazeh, they do it. They do
the
it.
Same thing with a bris.
No, a bris, no. What? We're not talking about mace. No. A bris is Yom HaShmini, Kikisra, Kisazriya. No. That's a whole different world. Okay, so we're on a tangent. So this is a machlokes, it's a general machlokes. This is a very good illustration of a difference between different types of Jews of what is the ikar, Kabbalah or Halacha. The Litvish Olam shies away from Inyoni Kabbalah. We are Maminim, B'nai Maminim, in all the Kabbalistic Inyonim, but when there is a conflict, when there is an issue, we overlook in Yonei Kabbalah. We have no connection to understand what's going on in the other world or supernatural things. What is the neshama feeling at this moment in time when its body has not been buried? In the Litvisha Olam, we don't focus on this at all. It's unheard of in the Litvisha Olam for there to be a funeral on Yom Tov, the first day or the second day. In the Hasidisha world, they very much emphasize in Yonei Kabbalah. And if Shulchan Aruch allows for exceptions to be made, yes, we take into consideration these supernatural, spiritual in Yonei. Okay, this is a lot of things like this. Mikvah, going to Mikvah on Shabbos. Are you allowed to go to Mikvah on Shabbos? A person's a Balkari. And he wants to go to Mikvah on Shabbos. So, in the Litvish world, Yehoreg v'al yava. Because you're not allowed to go. It's bathing. Going into a mikvah, you're bathing. Bathing is usur. You're taking a towel to wash, to dry yourself. You're getting involved in major, major halakhic questions. You want to find legal loopholes? What excuse do you have? How could I go to shul? I'm a Balkari. A Balkari, how could you daven? How can you say a Shmon Esh? How can you say Hashem's name? Shabbos, you know, the Kedusha, Shabbos, they open up the Sefer Torah, open up the Or HaKodesh, the Oyos of Kedusha come into this world, and I'm going to be in the state of Tumah? Too bad for you. There is a halacha, practical, you see the Oyos of Shul Kedusha, you sense all of these things, you on such a high madrega, to appreciate all of these things? Who are you fooling? So, the Litvish Olam, we don't go with Kabbalah, we go with halacha. The Hasidish world, no. If we have a tradition, there are holy influences that come down to this world on Shabbos Kodesh, and you want to be in the optimal state of holiness, and that demands that you go to mikvah, and we have a conflict, so find a solution. There are ways to find solutions in halacha. There are legal loopholes that you can make use of in order to find solutions. This is a consistent theme, the difference between the Litvish Olam and the Hasidish world is conflict between halacha and Inyanei Kabbalah.
Is not here.
The Tselem Elokim?
But as soon as possible.
That's Kabbalah. That's Inyanei Kabbalah.
No, but Torah said,
there's a halacha, Nivel HaMeis. Yeah, that's the mitzvah, the oraisa, to bury a body. Okay, so over here we're not discussing burying the dead. We're discussing here what's called a mitzvah that we're giving it the term a meis mitzvah only in respect to the concept. It takes priority. it takes priority over things which would appear to be more important. If no one is doing it, you should do it. Next. Lo yogur ish yirei Hashem mokem shachashudim al hacharamois v'al hashavuos. The person, where should you live? Meshanem mokem meshanem mazel. We always discuss this, that your neighbors, your friends, that's really what counts the most. Who are your chaverim? Who are your chaverim? Because you cannot deny the fact that you will be influenced by who you hang out with. Your friends have a hashpa upon you. If you live in a community where people are nichshol in averois, there are charamois, shvuos, without here it can mean many, many things. Over here it simply means people, they swear. They like nivul peh. They swear, they make promises. They make promises and they say, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do that. That's the custom in this makkah. People do not keep their word. Get out of that neighborhood. Run. Because ki l'chol aver yesh takana b'shuva u'lechem v'l'shvua lo yinake b'shuva b'zeh ilam. He speaks about the severity of swearing, promising to do something, and not keeping your word. So this is a very severe avera, and Hashem does not forgive people for this. And if you are in a community where people do not keep their word, so you have to recognize the punishment, oy l'rasha, oy l'shchein, l'chein in toiv l'adur etzlam, ki yefshesh lo yehane mehem o mehane osam. You're going to have benefit for them, or you're going to give benefit to them. And v'chol oivar l'cherim kilu ovar, and he goes on to explain, anyone that is oivar l'cherim, kilu ovar al-chamisha chum shetan. He talks about it, it's not really clear what kind of cherim he's referring to. He's referring to either people who swear falsely, or people who violate hakonois of chazal. If you have a community where the rabbis have made an enactment, don't do a certain thing. Don't do this. And it's an official enactment by the Vad HaRabbanim. And the people who you hang out with are in open violation of this takana. So in ancient times, when Chazal made a takana, for whatever the reason, there was a cherim. Anyone that does not obey this takana is cursed. Cherim means you're not allowed to have anything to do with this person. It's worse than just not having not allowed to do. The person is cursed by Chazal. If you live in a community where people do not take seriously the enactments of the Rabbanim, the Vad of Rabbanim in that community, then you're living in a place that's not, you're not in a good position. Anyone that violates a cherim, when the Rabbanim make an enactment and they put a curse upon those who do not obey, it's as if you have violated kol hatayra kula v'imtimne kol teva. Now he has over here a little gematria. What's the gematria? If you add up, if you count kol teva shebesayf kol sefer, there are five chamishei chum shei Torah, right? Chamish chum shei Torah. Take the last word in each of the chamish chum shei Torah. B'mitzrayim, that's the last word. By Yosem, Yosef, they put him in a coffin. By Yosem also b'mitzrayim in a coffin. B'mitzrayim, the Sefer Bereishis. Mas Ehem is the last word of Chumash Shemais, the Sefer Shemais. Sinai is the last word of Chumash, the Sefer Vayikra. Yerichoi. I don't know. You drink. I don't need. Yericho, thank you. Yericho is the last word, the Sefer Bamidbar, and Yisrael is the last word, the Mishnah Torah. V'situl ois rishoyna v'achloina shel kol teva v'teva. Take the last word of each of the chamishei chumshei Torah. Take the first letter of these five words, and take the last letter of these five words. Add them up. V'yalu l'minyan cherem. I didn't do it. I trust that it's correct. V'cherem b'gematria reish mem ches 248, the number of mitzvahs asei. K'minyan evarav, which is also the number of evarav shel adam. So there's something that he's saying a drush, that in addition to there being tayag mitzvahs, the entire Torah is packaged in the word cherem. Why is it packaged in the word cherem? I'm not familiar with this type of gematrius, but this is what he says, because the last five words of the Chamishei Chum Shei Torah are very significant, and the most significant part of a word is the first letter and the last letter, and the first letter and the last letter of these five words, the total of 10 letters, equals the gematria of the word Cherem, which also happens to be Reish Mem Ches 248, the number of limbs in a person. If a person is in violation of a Cherem, he's really playing games with his limbs, with his body, his physical body, he is in trouble. Okay, Kuv Zayin. Kuv Zayin is something which I don't think we are familiar with in our generation, but when you read all the old Sfarim, you see this. He's coming from a different world that we are not familiar with. It used to be a takana. I think there was a takana in Worms, in the German communities, where a person who felt that he was wronged, that he was robbed, and the Bezdin, the Rabbanim, are not sensitive to his plight. He feels he's a victim. Someone has caused him harm. He went to the Rabbanim, he went to his rabbi, he went to the leaders of the community, and he told them that, you know, I'm a victim, I've been robbed. And they don't listen to him, they don't pay attention. His complaints fall on deaf ears. The minig used to be in these communities, you have the right to get up in shul after Kriya Satoira and prevent them from putting back the Sefer Torah, and you can say your piece. How many times have we had to go in shul today after davening? People come to collect. And after davening, they want to make an appeal. And sometimes they ask permission from the rabbi, can they make an appeal? And sometimes they don't ask permission. And sometimes in some shuls, the rabbi gets very angry. You only can get up and make an appeal after davening is over if I give you permission to do so. You just can't get up after davening and just start talking top of your lungs and telling everyone, Rabbi Yisrael, I'm coming from Israel and I have this, this, that, and the v'chulu, v'chulu. There's a protocol. The protocol is you have to have permission. Well, the rabbi, he introduces him. But I've seen many times where a person just gets up on his own after davening and he starts making an appeal. And sometimes the people shout him down and they say, excuse me, sir, this is not a hefkeres here. You only can get up and make an appeal with the permission of the rabbi. And the rabbi is not giving you permission. You have no right just to get up and make an announcement. Now, this is always done when davening is over. But it used to be done. People would get up and they wouldn't necessarily make an appeal. They would make a protest that they're angry at the rabbi. They're angry at the community because there's a crime that has been committed and no one is paying attention. And you're allowed to do it. And no one can say no to you. You don't need the permission of the rabbi to make this announcement and to make to such a degree, you can do this. The proper time to do this was after Kriya Satoira, whether it was Shabbos or it was Monday, Thursday, before they put the Sefer Torah into the Heichal. Now that is a very serious thing because when the Sefer Torah, we unfortunately has been desensitized to this. But it used to be in the olden days, when they took the Sefer Torah out of the Aron HaKodesh, people behaved differently. Okay, we're totally dissent. Today, we couldn't care less, right? They got a Sefer Torah. No difference when they take out the Sefer Torah than the middle of Chazar Sashatz. If you'll text during Chazar Sashatz, you'll text when they take out the Sefer Torah. If you'll talk during Chazar Sashatz, you'll talk during Kriya Satorah. It doesn't make any difference. To us, it's all the same. We're totally desensitized. But it used to be in the olden days such a thing that when the Sefer Torah was taken out of the Heichal, people were afraid. They were frightened. They were sensitive. And that's why in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when they opened up the Arayin, it was a pachat. Today when you're on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they open up the Arayin, you feel any different? For Ne'ilah, they open up the Arayin, all of a sudden, it's a pachat that overcomes you. And as a child, I was afraid. I talked about it. I remember we opened up the Arayin, it's like a scary thing. You open up the Arayin HaKadosh. Unfortunately, today, I don't see people are afraid. Oh, open up the Arayin HaKadosh. Oh, now it's a pachat. Rachmana Litzlan, we have been totally desensitized to these matters. But it used to be, it was serious business. Open up the Aron HaKodesh, people were frightened. When you take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron HaKodesh, people were frightened. Now, add to that, listen to this, Rabbi Yisai, we're not putting back the Sefer Torah until I say my piece. That's really going over the top. Because people are on guard, they're frightened, they're behaving on a higher level, and they're eager that the Sefer Torah should be returned to its mokoyim, so that they can take catch their breath, and they can return to normalcy. And here you go, and you stand up in shul and say, Rabbi Yisai, the Sefer Torah is not going back into the army. Yeah, the Sefer Torah is not going back, and everyone is, they can't walk out, no one's going to walk out of shul, not their cheretz to walk out of shul when the Sefer Torah is still not in its mokoyim, and people are, they're just not easy, they're not, they're themselves, and now on top of that, you're saying, no one's going nowhere until I say what I want to say. And a person who had a legitimate complaint against the Rav, against the community, it was accepted, it was the minog in the German cities, I don't know exactly which one, but it's a fact, you have a right to get up in shul and stand before the tzibur before they put the Sefer Torah, prevent it from being returned, to lodge your complaint against the community. And they'll listen, and then they'll take it from there. So here he writes, you have to have a good reason. Okay, but you have to have a good reason. What happened, it seems, why we don't do this anymore is because people took advantage. People over time, it used to be like everything starts out with very holy people, and exceptions were made once in the blue moon, and then all of a sudden, you have phonies and fakers that come and take advantage. That come and take advantage, and they start, and they start holding up the tzibur for no good reason. They just want to complain. Rabbi Yisai, I want a raise. I want a better lunch. I want this. Nonsense. Reasons that are totally nonsense. So it says here, Kol Hamoneya. You have to know this background. What went on 800 years ago before you could read what it says here. Otherwise, you're totally clueless. Like we learned last week about the table. What? You're not allowed to kill a fly. Take a fly swatter on our table. What? What are you talking about? Today, table toss means nothing. It means nothing. But, you know, ancient time, it was a different world. Here as well. Kol Hamoneya, Sefer Torah, Melahach Mislasecho Aron HaKodesh, Kegoin, for example, HaKoyvel, a guy gets up and he complains. Rabbi Yisai, I have a complaint against everyone in this community because of A, B, and C. HaKoyvel B'Beis HaKnesses, L'Zne HaHechol. So if you have a legitimate reason, good. But if it's nonsense, you're in trouble. V'chein Aroitze L'Hachriach, whatever, if for some reason he's not telling us the details of what this refers to, but a person wants to manipulate, to throw your weight around in the Beis HaKnesses to get your way. Let's say you're whatever, the president, and you whatever, someone has a lot of money and they want to push their way around, and the people don't want to do this, but it's because this fellow has all the money and he has a lot of prestige, so he gets whatever he wants. And people say, you know, it's not nice what you're doing. Just not nice. And the only reason why the guy gets away with it is because, usually it's because of money. Okay, because, you know, he wants to do a certain thing. He wants to make a kiddush club, right? Kiddush club. It's not right to make a kiddush club, middle of Musaf. So how come no one's making a macha? Because this guy, he pays the bills. The guy who makes the kiddush club, if we insult him, he won't give a $1 million donation and pay the salary and pay the electricity for the shul. Oh, but it's a terrible bazillion that should be. Everyone should run out in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah to go and run to and make Kiddush during HaTorah. So how come we don't complain? Because there does HaTaneya, HaTadeya. So a person who throws his weight around Shaloi Kedin, V'toyimayim Shaloi Kedin HaTa'oiseh, Asida Torah Shetitzak V'sachriz, the Torah will cry and will cry out, Al Nishmasai, Ish Ploini, Al Yavoi, Limokoim Ploini Bishalayim. And you should know, this really touches really upon the Kiddush Club to a very large degree, because people who make the Kiddush Club, they're going out when the Sefer Torah is still out. You don't put the Sefer Torah back when you read the Haftorah, When you read the Haftarah, it's a very holy moment. You're not holding back. You're not holding back, but he's alluding to that it's, if you want to make a Kiddush Club, it's not the right time. It's not the right time. When the Sefer Torah is still out of the Aron HaKodesh, if you want to make a Kiddush Club, probably better make it in Chazaras HaShatz. That's a chutzpah noira. Anyway, don't come back. People make the Kiddush Club. Anyway, don't come back until after the rabbi finishes his drasha. So anyway, they end up doing a double avla. But it's a very, the Kiddush Club is something which, unfortunately, it's a makas medina. People get away with it. All these shuls, they have a Kiddush Club. I mean, even Chaim Berlin, they had a Kiddush Club.
Yeah,
they had a Kiddush Club. I don't know if they still do it, but they were balabatim. Used to go out during, they used to go out, go downstairs, and they used to have like a little still hate. And terrible, right? In a yeshiva to have a Kiddush Club? I don't know if it's still going on. It was a small group of people, a small group of balabatim used to do this. Terrible, it's a terrible thing. So how come they got away with it? I don't know. They paid the bills? I don't know. I don't know what the story is, but it's something. What? I highly doubt that he knew about it. I highly doubt, and if he did know about it, it would be very likely that he would have put an end to it so fast. but I remember this year. I haven't there on Shabbos in many years. I remember many, many years ago, there was a small chevra, five people out of probably 400, maybe 400 people that would during the haftarah they would sneak out. And they would come back, and you can smell. You can smell where they have been. Okay, there was alcohol in their breath. Maybe five people, maybe not even. And they were jokers, you know. They're not your typical, the B'nai Torah type of people. And I don't know if they still do it. I haven't been there many, many years. But it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And unfortunately, a lot of shuls have this problem. And what are you going to do? You're going to start up with these people, then you're not going to have a shul to daven in. Right? Isn't that the way it goes? But over here, if you're at least learning this, it says, V'sachris, when the Sefer Torah is out of the Ur HaKodesh, it's not the right thing. Kufches, one more halacha. V'al ta'akev v'esatzvila, do not hold back daven. Hold up the daven. During, you make an appeal. During Chazar HaShatz. You're not going to do that. So it says in the future when Mashiach comes, the tzibur will be davening, and the people who hold up the davening shaloi kadin will not be allowed to participate in the davening. Okay, so the people who hold, what does it mean they hold? It doesn't say what they're holding up. Either it means, I think we're missing information. See, today we'll just say it means they have a chazon, someone who likes to be marach. He likes the chazonus, and the tzibur says, cut it out. You want to do it? A little bit. Don't overdo it. They warn him over and over. He doesn't care. He wants to go on a long chazonus and go on and on and on and on and on and keep the people there for longer than they want to be. That's not right. Is that what he's referring to? He doesn't say. Or maybe it's possible that there were certain customs that were done in ancient times, 800 years ago, that we are not familiar with, which to him is so super obvious that he doesn't need to go spell it out. Just like this minute, which I would not understand unless I saw it written up, is that people, the custom was that you can get up in shul after they finish Kriyas HaTorah and prevent them from putting back the Sefer Torah to lodge a macha against the Bezdin, against the Rav. That you know I had a din Torah, and I feel that it was shaloi kedin, and no one wants to come to my defense. So it could be that during davening, there was other types of things that people were entitled or allowed to do in the middle of davening, to hold up the davening until certain things were corrected, which maybe al pi halacha, it was a takana that it was permitted, but it comes along people who abuse these situations, and they take advantage, and they do it shaloi kedin. And anyone that's going to take advantage of finding these legal loopholes to go and take advantage and hold up the tzibur, shaloi kedin, Hashem knows that what you're doing is shaloi l'shem shemayim, and la'asalavo, there will be reckoning for such behavior. Okay, we'll stop here, we'll take a short break, and we'll talk about the sugya of af hein hayu b'oisoi hanes. You can never go wrong when you talk about women.
Also, we cut a little note. Yeah? We cut a little note.